Hello, shalom, good morning, welcome. I'm doing this on Sunday, although you'll be getting this on the Monday. I won't be around Monday. I am going to a funeral. Very lovely lady. We've known her for many years. In fact, I was just thinking, in terms of people that we know, certainly in the Christian world, there's one date. There's a sort of a BC and an AD sort of thing going on here, because 2012 was the date, January 2012, with our first ever conference, Foundations One. And when I look at the people I know now, they very firmly sort of divide between those who I've met since and those who I knew before. And I have to say, most of the people who I now consider sort of close friends and associates and just people I tend to get on with are those that I've met as a result of the conference, apart from a few notable exceptions like David Andrew, Chris Hill, Kit, one or two others maybe. But mostly everyone else has been since. And I think they would all say as well that many friendships have been made as a result of our conferences. So watch this space. Perhaps we'll get back into the swing again if I'm not too old and restart the conferences. But going back, this lady I'm talking about, it's a couple, Malcolm and Margaret Baker. This is Margaret Baker, had died 2 weeks ago, early 80s. She hasn't been well for ages, ever since she started going to our conferences, I think. And him too, and both of them not very well. And of course, he's left behind, and we're going to support him tomorrow, Malcolm. But yeah, there are unsung heroes in this world, and these two definitely quietly in their own way have been such a blessing to Israel in particular. And I seem to remember their ministries before, going back 20 years perhaps. I remember going to conferences run by, some of you may remember, Kay Wilson, Kishkase, who was a good friend of mine at the time, and she had a ministry called Amity, which with a lady called Penny Cranham, and they used to bring Israelis over, creative Israelis who had things to say or things to show or to sell, and create conferences where they can meet people from England and just sort of fellowship together. And I remember Malcolm and Margaret being part of that. They had a ministry, I hate to say, I can't remember the name of it, it was an Israeli, a Hebrew name, where they were blessing individual Israelis. I can't remember in which way, whether it's sending them money or probably more about sending them things that could be useful to them, but perhaps also inviting them over and helping to pay for it. And Malcolm used to produce a magazine called Pointers Magazine, which I remember reading, sort of a handmade thing that he used to print off himself and post out. And of course, Malcolm's other name is Hashkama, and some of you may remember his articles for Salt Shaker's website. And also Malcolm Baker, until recently, was doing quite a few articles on the Sword magazine. So a real quiet but very, very loyal, certainly to me, couple. And there were times that Malcolm has been a great support to me, and hopefully me to him. And we just pray that we can be a blessing to him tomorrow. So pray, as you listen to this, perhaps the funeral will be taking place. I think it's around about lunchtime on Monday. So please bless them and bless Malcolm and his family, and then have a good day. So I'm really in the wars. I mean, this book, I know it's going to be my magnum opus. Okay, so this is the new book, The Chandelier Maker. I'm now 75% all the way through. I had finished it, I thought, when I hit 40,000 words, and it was a complete book then. But I realised that for a book to sell through agents and publishers, it needs to be 70,000 words. So I'm working towards it. I'm now up to 53,000 words, so I'm sort of getting there. And it's making it into a better book, but it's taking me into some really dark places. And I'll just tell you one thing, because yesterday I knew, I'm doing a sequence of scenes in the book on anti-Semitism and picking really extreme examples. And the first two, the first one would have been the Kishinev massacre at the beginning of the last century. It's a very famous pogrom that led to a lot of Jews leaving Russia and emigrating to Israel and other places. Another one was going back to the Crusades, the First Crusade, when the Crusaders came to Jerusalem and killed so many Jews and Muslims. So both of those are in the book in a very, quite graphically, and it's very immersive, let's say. But I knew I wanted to do something on Nazi Germany, but I didn't want to do the normal stuff, that just listing all the horrible, you know, things that they did, the atrocities. But I was moved to report on the meeting that they had that started the whole thing off, the meeting that Hitler organised, run by Heydrich and Eichmann, in this place called the Wannsee Conference Centre, and where 15 people came together and they decided on the final solution. This is in 1942. I found out that it was a film. It was a Hollywood film. So I watched it yesterday. Oh my God, even now thinking about it. You know, there's some things that are inadvisable to watch. I knew that I had to watch this because I needed the words, the script, to create a script for the book. And the film was the best way of doing this. But I'll tell you what, in recent, I've never seen such an evil film. It was just words. You didn't see, there's no atrocities or anything, and there's no music in it. It's just a group of men, absolutely evil men. This is a true story. 15 of them taken from all different sort of sections of command in the Nazi regime, but run by Heydrich, who was, I think, running the SS, and his deputy was Eichmann, the famous Eichmann. And it was, they're all Hollywood actors. A lot English character actors. So Heydrich was played by Kenneth Branagh. Stanley Tucci played Eichmann. There's also Colin Firth, and just a load of everyone there I recognised from, even from sitcoms and stuff. But to actually listen to the conversations around that table and how they, the way they were discussing Jewish people and the way they were discussing or building up to what the final solution was going to be, was, I didn't realise how much of an effect it would have on me, because I was shattered at the end of it, and a great heaviness came on me. Now, this heaviness I haven't felt for 20 years. I used to have a lot of trouble, let's say demonic activity, when I was starting out about 20 years ago. And there's quite a few occasions where the enemy was really messing about with me. And there's some very strange occasions, I'll say some of them when I think back. And they haven't happened since. And the only thing I can think about is that I've been covered a lot by prayer because of my conferences and my public appearances and the books. People are praying for me. I know one particular lady, I hope you're there, in her 90s, that I think have prayed for me every day for the last 10 years. But I do know I get a lot of prayer, and I think I've been protected against a lot of enemy activity. So if you do pray for me, then please continue to, and if you don't, please start. because it was quite horrible. I knew what it was. I knew after I'd watched that, because of just the depiction of evil done in such a sort of a muted way. You know, there was no dramatics about it. There was no emotion. I suppose that was part of it. It was all so cold and horrible. And it's going to be very effective in the book. That's all I can say. But I remember straight after that, Monica and I had to go to an evening performance of Artless, our son Johnny, kids' Christmas play, which was a great tonic. But on the journey there, you know, I just felt this, and Monica actually prayed for me during the car journey. I said, you know, you've got to get rid of this heaviness, and she prayed against it, and it lifted, and I've been okay ever since. And that's the thing, you know, we are we are powerful. We, you know, the name of Jesus is all powerful, and I've seen it so many times. But I suppose not necessarily even recently. There's been times in the past some very strong. I mean, one similar situation about 20 years ago. I was driving a group of ladies, including Monica, to our old church, or from, let's say, our old church to our even older church. I can't remember what for, but when I got there, on the journey, I felt something attach itself to me. That's all I could say. And while I was there, first there was a manifestation. A man's face changed. I can still visualize it. His face actually changed. I was watching him. And then something happened, and a part of me blacked out for about half an hour, where at one point it's almost like I woke up, but I was still there at the meeting, awake. But I had no memory of anything that happened in the half an hour before that. And all I can think of is that that's the point where it left me. There must have been a prayer or something in my spirit that pushed it away. But, you know, I just had a lot of these things. I don't know how normal it is, but it was part of my life at the time. So it was pretty horrible. Anyway, let's not talk any more about that. And praise God that God is powerful and the name of Jesus will defeat anything. And it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The book's going, they say, well, it's going to be a real... I think it's going to be significant. That's all I can say. I'm hoping to finish it at the end of the year and looking for people to read it and to evaluate it for me. Just a quickie final thing, in a sense, I had an interview last week at Revelation TV with Simon Barrett on the Middle East Report. First time I've done the Middle East Report. I've done his Politics Today a couple of times, but this is the first time. And I got almost an hour there, and it was a recording session. So it's not going out until the end of next week, which I think is the 27th of December, 9 o'clock in the evening, with I think two repeats after that. But I think it'll probably be on their YouTube channel or on their website. You can probably get it on demand, or if you're that interested. but it was an interesting one, because I was very... a little bit nervous on the way there, but when I got there, it was absolutely no problem. And Simon had prepared a whole load of questions for me, based not just on the book, Now Everything Changes, but my whole life leading up to it. And he said, well, here are the questions. Do you want to look at them? I said, no. I thought, no, let's have a conversation. And that's what we did. We just had a very open conversation that took us into some interesting areas that I think neither of us had actually prepared. So it made it, I think, quite a natural conversation. And I think we both had a really good time. It was enjoyable for me. You don't notice. The camera's there and it's so far in the background, you know, and I'm used to being filmed when I speak. So that, you know, I don't have any nerves like I would have done in the past. So let me know how it goes. Well, I'll remind you next week, because it's not going out until the end of next week. So... interestingly, I'm giving a one-day conference the day after that, on the 28th, and in High Wycombe. And they have asked everyone who's coming to actually watch me the night before. And then perhaps we talk about questions and answers that might have come out of the talk. So, because I haven't really prepared anything for this one-day conference. The only thing that's on my mind, and I suppose that's what this new book's about, is how do we communicate to those who don't get it, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. I think that's what's really troubling me at the moment. And I did mention it in Now Everything Changes. I had four factors. I think fear was one of them. Hatred, I'm afraid, is another one. Anti-Semitism. Another one would be jealousy, from Gentiles to Jew. And the fourth one is ignorance, and not really knowing the Bible, not really understanding God's promises. So I think... when I do this day conference, I'll be maybe take a big flip chart there and write those four down, and then start discussion off and get people's suggestions and testimonies and whatever, and build it up on the flow chart, on the flip chart, and then at the end of the day, everyone can photograph it and they've got their notes to take back, and hopefully it will make some difference to their lives and mine too. So that's the aim of it anyway. So, okay, I think that's it for now. I don't think there's anything else. So have a good day. Have a good week. Don't get too stressed. Christmas, Hanukkah. You know, we're not, I don't think, not much. Anyway, see you again next week. Bye.